You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 184. I'm your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and tonight, the American Anthropological Association decides to not do science anymore because it might hurt your feelings. Okay, so welcome back, everyone. Nice to be here yet again, and right off the top, you'll have to excuse me if you hear any planes flying around or if you hear me go, oh my God, and then run away because there's actually a bunch of fires in my area right now. I'm recording this the day of the, I believe it is called the Sandy Fire in Simi Valley, which is not too terribly far away from where I live. And I do find it tough to be, well, thoughtful and funny while there's a huge wall of flames not too far away. But the situation has calmed down a bit, and I think we're going to be okay, you know. So I thought I'd do my show for today. And what I want to talk about is the American Anthropology Association, or I believe it's the American Anthropological Association, if I must be completely correct. Now, in last time's podcast, I talked about the SAAs, that is the Society for American Archaeology, right? So the SAAs are like the main archaeology academic group in the United States, and the AAAs, American Anthropological Association, is the main anthro group. The AAAs are bigger than the SAAs because the AAAs kind of do all of anthropology, right? They'll do linguistics and cultural and biological and some archaeology too, right? Where the SAAs only do archaeology. And it's been that way for like 100 years, this kind of thing. Now, as I said last time, the SAAs, I went there and I gave you guys a report and I was heartened by several things that were happening with the Society for American Archaeology group, right? They were really taking seriously trying to do some public outreach, right? There were some fits and starts, and I joked about it some, you know, but overall, I really appreciate that the SAAs are trying to take some of this seriously and kind of thinking, hey, nobody cares about us, and we're totally irrelevant with our academic nonsense unless we reach out to a broader audience of everyday people, because that's what we're supposed to do in the first place, right? So They're trying, and I give them that. And then I also told you guys that I was really heartened that CRM, the Cultural Resource Management, was really looking like it was doing really well in the meetings. So that's nice. And I have to say, you guys, as I give my slings and arrows throughout this, I always want archaeology and anthropology to be successful, right? Why wouldn't I? I'm an archaeology professor, right? I find this stuff great. I'm super passionate about this stuff. Oh, and as I talk, you may be able to hear the sirens in the background. This is, you know, welcome to Southern California fire season. Now, while I'm always a cheerleader for archaeology and anthropology, I can also, in that same moment, take criticism, right? And be honest about things and be open-minded and see when things really don't work. And I don't double down and just put my head in the sand. I take these criticisms head on and I think about it and I try and do something better, more productive, more worthwhile. You know, I try and fix things. That's what the SAA is doing with their public outreach. They're trying to fix things. But oh, friends, the AAAs, the American Anthropological Association, oh, they're not. They're definitely going for, let's double down on our same old bullshit and not listen to anyone. And let's fight the 50-year-old war and just never change with the times. I'm sorry I have to tell you guys that's the truth, but it's the truth. Why do I say this? Well, I joke about the AAAs all the time because in terms of archaeology or anthropology groups, I find them to be the most cliche, like effete snob, blue blood, academic tower, just cliche academics, you know, who you just don't want to invite to parties. Those guys, right? Just do an SNL skit and put the out of touch professor in. That's who runs the AAAs, right? And it's sad, it's unfortunate, but it's the truth. I heard very recently that, okay, for their next meetings, which are in November, the AAA meetings are always in November, they're going to have, for their distinguished lecturer, they're going to use Augustin Fuentes. Now, intrepid listeners of mine may remember back to, I believe it's episode 172, where I talked about Augustin Fuentes' book, Sex is a Spectrum. And I argued, no, biological sex is not a spectrum. Now, if you talk about gender, right, which is like how we show our sexuality and this kind of stuff, sure, that is a spectrum, but biological sex is not. And one thing I didn't tell you guys, after I did that show, I got a lot of reaction. And it was not at all what I was expecting. So I got two groups of reaction. The first group, I got several like email letters to me just from fans, from you guys out there. And all of them, all the like emailed responses to me personally talked about like how great it was that I took that stance. They were like worried for me. You know, they were like, oh man, I hope you don't like lose your job. Oh man, thank you so much for being honest. And it really made me feel good. It was totally unexpected. I usually don't get that kind of stuff on kind of your average podcast that I do. And I got several of those. And you guys who sent that stuff, it made me feel really good. It was really kind and really thoughtful, right? And it was really great. On the flip side, I got a bunch of anonymous online assholes who were like, oh, you're such a fill in the blank. Transphobe, reductionist. I'll get into that later, what that means. But every sort of you're a terrible person thing by anonymous people. I got a bunch of, you know, 0-star, 1-star ratings on my podcast because of it, which I expect. And I don't care. As I've always told you guys, the one thing I do take seriously is honesty. I will always be honest to you. And I will be honest if I screw up. I will be honest if I learn something new. I will be honest if new information comes out. And as we get into this, that's the difference that you're going to see. You're going to see that me and people like me who talk about basic biological sex, right? Men and women, right? That kind of thing. We would change our minds tomorrow if you had some decent data, if you found some decent facts to back it up. We are facts first, right? And then we tell the story based on our facts. These guys, the Augustin Fuentes world, the sex is a spectrum world, they talk about how everything is like a social construct and they are trying to push an agenda. That's the difference. They go story first because in their mind, sex must be a spectrum. Biological sex cannot be binary, right? It has to be some funky, weird spectrum. And everything has to be a social construct inside everyone's minds. There can be no objective truth, right? No objective facts, not really. And it's ludicrous, right? And I think as time goes on, you can see the difference in the two sides, right? I would say I'm more relaxed. I'm like, yeah, well, show me some data. I have like no horse in this race, if that makes sense. You know, I'm like, I'm going to take the facts. I'm going to do what's best for people. I'm going to report them. I'm not going to bow to some weird pressure, especially from the AAAs. Are you kidding? Bunch of like old people who are vaguely angry at me for ideologies they concocted during the Vietnam War. I'm going to let that go. And I also have to say this. When I reviewed Augustin Fuentes' book, I thought I was really kind. Like, if you guys don't believe me, listen back to 172. I don't wish any ill will to him, man. Like, I hope things are good. I would never, I hate cancel culture and all that crap. Like, I would never say that. Like, it, just because he's going to be the distinguished lecturer at the AAAs, I would never go in there and like put a lot of loud horns on or shout him down. I would never do that. I'd be like, yeah, tell your thing. My point with all this is much more like, look how far some of these institutions have fallen, where they just won't use reality anymore. They have just gone off the deep end into weird Marxist social construct. There is no reality world. And I don't live there. And you shouldn't either. One other thing on this before I really get down and dirty, but I'll try not to be dirty, is that I hate getting political, you guys. You know, like, I really don't like doing that. If you've listened to my shows, you know that I'm not a political type person. This show is about pseudo-archaeology, and it's about looking at crazy stories of the past, be it Atlantis, Bigfoot, you know the stuff, and having a laugh. And everyone's invited, dude. Everyone, always. I don't care what your politics are. I don't care if you're the farthest left or farthest right or farthest in between. I don't care, right? I will be your friend. I would be Augustine Fuentes' friend tomorrow. It's fine. I just disagree with what he says. I think it's idiotic, but that's just ideas. But here you go. If you must know my politics, this is for the left-wing tools who call me a terrible person. All right. I am of the left, okay? Like, I am much more left-wing than I am right. I am pro-choice. I am very pro-environment. I am pro-union. And I have to say this. I'm sorry, everyone. I usually wouldn't even bring this up. I did not vote for Donald Trump, even though your side, the left, my side, I guess, always says I did. I didn't. Basically, I'm a Southern California surfer, tree-hugging college professor. And you're losing me. So yeah, left-leaning fools. You are electing President J.D. Vance. I'm just saying. So, I hate to bring that up. And I know that if you're in either of the far left or far right silos, you're listening to this waiting for me to screw up, right? You're like, oh, I like him. Oh, he's out. And I just ask you to please not be that way. And I ask one other thing, too. I've told a lot of people this. If you're far left, this next round of voting, vote for one Republican, right? You know, in like school board or something. Like, vote for one Republican. If you are far right, vote for one Democrat, same thing, you know? And I'm telling you, it's freeing. I did it last time around, you know? And I'm like, yeah, because what that does is it makes you an independent thinker. And that's what I want. That's what I want out of us, right? And I want to analyze the rest of this as independent thinkers, because what I want is for anthropology to survive. And it is dying. Archaeology too, not as bad as anthro, but it's dying too. And we are the purveyors of our own demise, my friends. There are ways for us to save ourselves, okay? And one of the main ways is don't listen to Augustine Fuentes. When we return, more on the AAAs and science. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 184. And I am analyzing the AAAs, the American Anthropological Association, and their choice to have Augustine Fuentes as their distinguished lecturer this time around for their meetings in November. And also, I'm just generally analyzing all the wrong moves that the AAAs are making as they fall further into irrelevancy. And again, I don't want this to happen. Now, as I looked and I saw the announcement of like, hey, Augustine Fuentes is going to be the guy who's going to talk this time at the AAAs. Isn't that great? And of course, all the ass kissers go, yay. I looked it up and I came across this article that Augustine Fuentes wrote in 2025, right about, I think, when his book came out. And it's really a support of course, that sex is a spectrum, and specifically that basically there's no difference in biological men and biological women when it comes to playing sports. Oh, I mean, I can't make this stuff up, you guys. And I will show you a handful of things that these guys all do wrong. Augustine Fuentes is one of them, but there's many others. So in his writing, and I think this is just an article that's on the American Anthropological Association's website. It's called Sex Biology and Sports, Data and Context Matter. This is one thing that he does a lot, too. He talks about how scientific he is, but he's not. What's so funny, too, is as we're here in the pseudo-archaeology podcast, I notice how many similarities there are between Augustine Fuentes and Graham Hancock. Like, they do the same stuff. You know, they argue these asinine things. And then if you push against them, they call you a terrible person. Both of them do this, right? I remember when I was talking about Fuentes's book, you know, if you disagree with him, you are ignorant, you are harmful, and you cause suffering. His quotes, not mine. That's what you do, right? That's what he says. So it's just this personal attack, right? Which is something that always happens when people are making idiotic arguments. When you read this little article on, you know, how men and women are basically the same at sports and that the differences are so little as to not matter, he opens with, here's the first couple words, despite what Trump's executive orders imply. These are always refutations of Donald Trump. Now, I do not think that Donald Trump is the best president ever. I did not vote for him. But this whining just about how Trump is terrible, well, all that is an indicator. It's a virtue signal to anybody else reading to go, yes, I'm on this side. The first thing I would ask that these people do is just take Donald Trump out of it all the way. Just talk about your take on things. Don't bring politics into it, man. You know, it's just already. So you've turned off half the country, but in a virtuous way. And then he goes on, of course, to talk about gender, which is, they bastardize the word gender, right? There is sex, which is biological, and gender, which is cultural. And then they cross the two to try and make it seem like biology is a spectrum, which it's not. As he writes, he basically says, first, the contention that anyone assigned male at birth, I hate the word assigned, is always going to be better at sports than anyone assigned female at birth is simply not true. Well, we're not saying that every male is better than every female at sports, but we are saying that one of these has way more testosterone, way larger muscle mass, and can rule over the other sex when it comes to contests that need big muscles and that kind of stuff, and speed and all that kind of stuff. Second, for most people in most situations, a slight difference in athletic capacity rarely matters. Are you kidding? Do you watch any professional sports? Do you watch the Olympics? See, when people write this stuff, my next question is like, were you ever in sports? I mean, I was a swimmer, right? And I was good. I wasn't fantastic, but I would say at a typical college, I could have probably made the swim team, but I would have been like the worst person on the college swim team, if that makes sense. But I did it enough to know what was necessary and what mattered and all that kind of stuff. And if you have a biological edge, it's amazing. You know, I'm tall and lean. So biologically, that's good. You know, my body helped me in swimming. But this idea that most people in most situations, a slight difference rarely matters, it's just horseshit. Unless it's a bunch of 9-year-old kids playing soccer, then yeah, it doesn't matter. But if you are taking sports in any way seriously, and honestly, I don't. Personally, I don't watch sports except for the Olympics because I was a swimmer and I understand, you know, all the swimming stuff. I don't watch sports. I like playing sports. I'm just one of those guys. I like playing sports, but I don't like watching it. I find the watching super boring. But I respect athletes and I know how much they train and work and how difficult it is. And to say some bullshit, like a slight difference in athletic capacity rarely matters, is asinine. You know, like you have to just stop right there and be like, he's doing the social construction thing where it's like, hey, man, biology and reality don't matter. It's just what you've been told, man. And that's what he goes on. He goes on to make his horrible argument that, like, it would all be equal, except that we've told women they're not as good as men. It's just like, see, look at me, speechless. Right? It's just a pile of stupid. And now, when I say stuff like this side, this very far left extreme side, always says that I am being, quote, reductionist. What that means is I'm oversimplifying, right? That's the other thing. Oh, you're just oversimplifying. No, I'm not. I am telling you biological facts. The reason why they say that is, of course, the underpinning being you're making it too easy. Because it doesn't let me shove my bullshit in. You know, it's really that simple. And again, I'm going off of biology, okay? And I am not here to make anyone feel bad. I can't think of anything I've said that's bad. I mean, I guess Augustine Fuentes himself would be like, hey, stop calling what I do bullshit. But, you know, it's bullshit. But that's okay. Again, I wish him well, man. Like, go on with your bad self and do your distinguished lecture. That's okay. You know what I would love, though, is if he pivoted and, like, just let this go. I'm not here to say that he needs to be like, I was wrong, but just start talking about something else and do good work. He's a smart guy. He's a good public lecturer, too, and a good public intellectual. He's just so wrong on this. It's sad. It's a waste. It's a waste of good Augustine. It's a waste of your talents, man. Stop it. Stop it now. Do something else. It would be awesome. You know, I think I said something like this when I was doing episode 172 or whatever it was, that this stuff is so over the top that I think in about 20 years, I think it's going to be 20 years, there's going to be a museum. You know, there's going to be like museum displays of like what happened during like COVID and right post COVID, you know, this intellectual takeover by the far left in academic institutions, because we see already all this overcooked, you know, Marxist based social construct bullshit is like going away in normal society. The only place it's still trying to hold on is Hollywood, but it's falling away there because they just want to make money. But academia is where it's holding, right? Because these fools. Oh, can you hear that? There's another helicopter. Hopefully putting some of the fire out. These guys are doing a great job, by the way, man. Kudos to the Ventura County Fire Department. These guys kick ass. Anyway, I think in this museum display, you will find the book Sex is a Spectrum. And then kids will laugh. It's the reefer madness of our day, right? It's the Red Scare of our day. You know, there's a time there where people just go crazy. But then it takes about 20 years before people totally laugh at it, right? Reefer Madness is what, late 50s? Maybe I'm a bit, it's the 50s, I believe. It might even be late 40s. But it's going to take a solid 10 to 20 years before you're watching it for the laugh. You know what I mean? Red Scare. It's going to take a solid 15 years at least before you can be called a communist or you commie bastard or something like that. And people will laugh. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, if I told my dad I didn't like something that was like all sugary or something. And trust me, I like sugary stuff. But once I didn't like chocolate cake. That was my one thing. I'd be like, Dad, I don't like chocolate cake. He would go, what are you, a communist? In jest, right? And that would be around what, 1980 or something. So by that point, that's funny. Now, all this stuff that we're taking super serious, all this Marxist socialist bullshit stuff in here, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, people will call themselves this stuff and it will be for laughter. I can't wait for that day, but I guarantee you it's coming. Because as I read through this, isn't it just an SNL skit? Isn't it over the top? There's no true difference between men and women in biological sports, at least. Well, there's a difference, but it's so small it doesn't matter. See? Right. At least I'm already laughing. So as I was looking at the AAA website, I found two other things, too, that really bummed me out. First, there was a link somewhere, and I forget where, but it went to a book review for Sex is a Spectrum, and I'd seen this in the past. It's in The Lancet, which is, it's of course, Harvard's little write-up, right? So Augustin Fuentes is from Princeton, and the woman who wrote his write-up is from Harvard. And of course, the write-up is like so appreciative and talks about Augustin Fuentes as a conquering hero. And of course, it starts with, the beginning of the second paragraph. At the start of his second term in January 2025, U.S. President Donald Trump issued, oh, God. Leave this political crap out. Again, I did not vote for him, but you're getting his side reelected. And then she goes onward and in her praise says that Augustine's book is a timely, a quote, timely cri de coeur. Because, you know, whenever you use French, you're talking to the common man. A cri de coeur. And so I had to look it up. It is an impassioned outcry, right? He is lauded for his cri de coeur. Please, you guys, never say I made a cri de coeur. Or maybe do, if you just want to do it for fun. But, oh my God. I mean, just with that, aren't you just like, oh my God, blue blood, like just cliche, academic, self-centered, vomitous. I also thought the last sentence of this very glowing review was odd because she says about Sex is a Spectrum, quote, defending research and clinical practice in gender-related areas must be a priority in the face of perilous new attacks on science and academic freedom. So what she's saying is Augustin Fuentes, who is going to be the main speaker at the AAA's, is somehow being attacked, and who tons of people are saying how great he is. Well, he's being attacked by me, but that he's somehow, you know, keeping research and academic freedom open. And I thought that was weird because Augustin Fuentes, also in 2023, was one of the main writers of the letter of support for the AAA's withdrawal of a session from their meeting that dealt with biological reality. So Mr. Open to Academic Freedom, don't want anybody to attack you. He authored, him and I think two other people, authored this letter that was in support, defending the AAA's when they denied a group of real anthropologists who wanted to talk about biological sex, they denied them from speaking. They initially were going to allow them, then denied it, right? Because they thought it would be, quote, harmful, you know, the same old stupid crap. Like, that is the opposite of academic freedom. Like, I would never do that. That, I think, is the worst thing he's done. I don't care if he makes some dumbass book that's not true, but to actually write a letter to, like, in support of people getting kicked out of a meeting of real professionals, like not able to just give a talk in a professional manner, biological anthropologists talking about actual like aspects of the human body. Give me a break. And with that, when we return, my closing thoughts, you'll never guess what they are, on the AAA's. All right. Welcome back to the Pseudoarchaeology Podcast, episode 184. And we have been discussing the AAA's and their choice to double down on Sex is a Spectrum. And, you know, although I am the pseudo archaeology podcast, today is obviously the pseudo anthropology podcast starring the AAA's. As I went through their website, and I do this once in a long while, I noticed two other things. So anthropology departments, archaeology departments too, because they're interrelated, have been closing. A lot of them have been closing, and it's really sad, right? I don't want that. And the AAA's on their website, they keep a list of departments that are closing. And it's called, if you go on their website, it's called Anthropology Watch, right? And they have this list, And it lists all these departments, Michigan State. I'm just going down the list. There's a bunch of them whose programs are discontinued or they're closed or they're not allowing anybody new in. It's really bad for anthropology, you know, and they have this list. From what I've already said, why do you think this list keeps growing? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you. Because the American Anthropological Association keeps pushing crap like sex is a spectrum. And beyond that, they teach a lot of classes that are just all about Marxism in everything. Why Marxist is right and you're not, right? That's like, we as academics need to be able to take the criticism of the right, right? And they are correct. I've lived this, you guys. I'm not going to lie and say that there isn't an aspect of college departments like this that aren't Marxist indoctrination centers, because they kind of are. Now, I am not arguing in the same moment to close departments. No. And I am not arguing don't go to college. That's a terrible move, you guys. Go to college. It is worth it. Just go to cheaper college. Go to a college in your state for this kind of thing, right? Just don't spend too much money. But getting a college degree is like the number one road to success. It is, right? See, as soon as I say that, then people on the right hate me. You see how everyone hates me? I must be doing something right. But anyway, let's take that criticism, you know, as anthropologists and be like, gee, there's a lot of departments that are closing. You know, what can we do? What can we do to like help this? Because this is bad. You know, I do not want this to happen, you guys. What can we do? The answer is obvious, right? How about teach better classes? And I know exactly what to teach. Let's teach fun stuff. Remember fun, right? It would be, you teach Egyptology, Mysteries of the Ancient Maya. There's all kinds of cultural groups you can look at from around the world. It's fascinating cultural anthropology. You know, you can go continent by continent, however you want, right? But instead of doing that, oh, the other thing you can do is teach real skill sets, how to do archaeological excavations, how to actually interview people if you're going to do a cultural anthropological study, how to actually work on human remains if you're a biological anthropologist. Fascinating, awesome stuff that we all want to do, right? That's what you teach. It's you teach skills and you teach awesome shit, right? You don't just teach Marxist Marxism with a side of we're all colonists and we're terrible people. Who really wants to take that, right? All they do is they teach criticism, but they never teach the real thing. Like they will teach an ethnic studies class that's all about criticizing Western society. But since students have never had Western civ, they don't know what they're criticizing. They never learn Western Civ. I highly recommend taking Western Civ, but I also highly recommend taking an anthro class, you know, not just one-sided and saying somehow that teaching Western Civ in any kind of positive light is somehow harmful. You know, democracy is kind of a cool thing. It's obvious to me what to do, but the AAA is not to be outdone by Andrew Kinkela. They're like, no, we won't talk at all about actually offering classes that a human might want to take. They've actually sent out, they have a PDF that you can download called an Anthropology Department Crisis Toolkit. So if your department is closing, you can go to the AAA website and you can download a toolkit to try and keep your department open. And yes, you guessed it. It has nothing to do with reality. It's obviously written by people who've never had a real job in their lives. It's all about really writing letters to people, basically saying, hey, don't close my anthro department. Here, like in their guidance, they say that the AAA can assist in issuing letters on behalf of academic departments facing closures, mergers, and disruptions. And then they say, such letters from a national body can carry significant weight. They act as expert testimony that cutting anthropology is a step backward. Really? The strongly worded letter, even other academics joke about this shit, right? The idea that all you need is a strongly worded letter. Like, that's their answer. And I get it, man. Look, if my department was closing, I'd do anything to keep it open. I would download this toolkit tomorrow. I would ask them to write me a strongly worded letter. It's not going to make any difference. Like, if you have some strongly worded letter from an association that believes sex is a spectrum and the only way forward is Marxism, like, that's not a help. Kind of a hindrance. You know? So what is this crap? Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, let's see. What is this crap specifically? Okay, here near the bottom of their anthropology department crisis toolkit PDF. Here we go. Actions you can take as a AAA member. First, you can add your signature to petitions and advocacy letters from sister organizations we send your way. So you can sign a petition. So your department's about to get axed and you can sign a petition. Then you can, two, attend our upcoming town hall webinars and other events to stay informed and engaged. So you can listen to other AAA members dope around about dumb shit. Three, you can elevate anthropology's role in shaping public discourse by sharing and teaching the present tense collections, I don't know, with your students and the public at large, whatever that is, I don't know. Number four, write an opinion piece for your local newspaper. That's gonna work. Yes. Yes. This is a powerful way to highlight how scientific research benefits communities and drives progress. Yeah, it sure is. Oh, here we go. Log into AAA's Community Hub for updates on everything anthropology. You'll find advocacy efforts, important information about your section, activities, opportunities to get more involved, and more. So you can get more involved with the AAA. That's what you do if you're about to get fired. And then finally, the last recommendation is to maintain your AAA membership in good standing. Your engagement strengthens our collective voice and impact. Exactly. Your collective voice that's wrong and your impact that does nothing. I mean, look at that list. Imagine if you were someone who was like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. I need some help. What should we do? This is all bullshit. What a waste of time. Oh, and I do have to say, I haven't been a AAA member for years, and I'm sure they're like, thank God we wouldn't want him. I will say I would love all you guys as audience members, sure. But their membership is totally freaking expensive. It's so expensive, you guys. I forget. It was hundreds of dollars. It was the most expensive one. It was a long time ago when I looked, but it was not worth it. It's really for people who grew up rich anyway, like the AAAs, that's really underneath it all. Again, very East Coasty, very blue blood. It's like a bunch of rich people who have only been academics their entire lives, and they think writing a strongly worded letter is somehow does anything. It doesn't. And so what they've done, you know, just to show their disdain, they've given you these worthless actions you can take. Oh, but as long as you stay a member and dump hundreds of dollars on their head every year. And then they have a list of all the departments closing. Never in here did I see thoughts on making new classes that students might want to take. And I don't mean that as a joke, even though at this point it is a joke. Do that stuff. You want your department to survive? Do what I told you. I'm going to use Arnold Schwarzenegger's line. Come with me if you want to live. Seriously, like if you want your department to live, this is what you do. Teach classes that are exciting. Teach classes that get asses in the seats, because the more students you get, the larger your department is. It looks good. I see so many departments on the edge of falling apart. All they do is argue about how important they are. And it's like, no, you're not. You have no students, you know? So stop the Marxist bullshit. Like, give them real classes they want. And you know it's fun. You know it's fun. Teaching stuff like Egyptology is a blast and a half. I love teaching that stuff, you know? Teach the fun stuff and then give them skills. You must have skills somewhere. You had to have taken a class. Maybe this is the other problem, that a lot of these professors don't have actual, like, real skills. They've defined their whole careers doing things like deconstructing other people's work, which I hate. It's like, no, I don't do any of my own research. I just say yours is bad. And then I write an article about how bad your research is. I'm not a huge fan of that. The one thing I do agree with the AAAs is the part where they are bitching about the National Science Foundation funding going away, NSF funding. And I agree with them. Now, if you're just doing Marxist perspectives on putting your right shoe on before your left, yeah, you don't really need any money to do that. But overall, I've really seen this personally, where the NSF funding has been slashed. And that's really sad. That's something that the current administration is doing terribly. That's a terrible call, because if we want to be like American, exceptionally American, you know, if we want American exceptionalism to really be a thing, you have to fund your scientists, you know, and who cares if there's a couple far left, overly woke bullshit studies. I don't care if there's a handful of those, as long as everything else is getting funded, right? Because we do have in this country really good researchers, even in anthropology. Again, I take the piss out of the AAAs whenever I can, because I think they're a joke. But the people in it, many of them are awesome researchers. Even Augustin Fuentes he's a good researcher in his way, but he cherry picks terribly. You got to work on your research techniques, Augustine. But overall, he is a professional. So that to me is a really big problem in the United States currently, lack of NSF funding. I've seen real archaeology projects who are doing real research that everyone likes, you know, like researching pyramids at an ancient Maya site deep in the jungle, have no funding because the NSF is shut down. That's a huge problem. So there you go, AAAs. I'm going to agree with you on that one. But in order to get the funding, you are going to have to reach out to the general public, talking to them in normal ways and not trying to tell them something as stupid as sex is a spectrum. That's just dumb, and it's going to turn off everyone, right? And this is where, to wrap this all up, kudos to the SAAs. Right? The Society for American Archaeology is really trying to bust out and get in touch with normal everyday people. And that's just great. So, my friends, in the darkness of pseudoanthropology, there is light. Come with me. We will find it together. And with that, I'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. The Archaeology Podcast Network's chief editor is Rachel Roden. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media and newsletter coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. The APN was founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle on December 1st, 2014. We're supported by our amazing podcast hosts, many volunteers, and listeners like you. Check out membership at www.archpodnet.com/members.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.